Amen. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. You know that verse that says, if my heart is right when he calls. You know he's calling today. He's calling by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if our mind is right and we'll receive the word, which means to obey it, when he calls eternally, our heart be right, we will go with him. Oh boy, what a beautiful song now. I love that song. I love all of them, but that one really hits the spot. Yes, it does. It's good to be here today. God has been good to us today. You know, there's a lot of people don't appreciate God, the goodness of God. They don't even believe that God exists. Well, I tell a person all the time, all you got to do, take your hand, put it in front of your face, blow on it. That's God, because the Bible tells us that he gave us the breath of life. That's God. If they believe it or not, it's still true. You know, some people believe a lie better than they will believe the truth. But all I got today, all I got this evening is the truth. I mean, if you came for any other reason, you might as well get up and go out that door right now, because that's all I got is the truth, the word of God. I am really, really thankful to this congregation for allowing me and Brother Brooks to stand here and be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to continue to pray for Brother Brooks that he'll continue to be strong and hold on to God's unchanging hand. You know, preachers go through some things, too. And, you know, God is not a respecter of person. And when we are all needed to give him the strength that he needs to just keep on keeping on. Now, I'm not going to hold you as long as you might be used to. Somebody told me to preach as long as I want to preach. Boy, I remember the days I used to do that. Oh, boy, boy. Then they tell me, you need to find an airport real fast because you go up, but you don't know how to come down. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Genesis. Now, you know, the Bible teaches us in Romans the 15th chapter, around verse number 4, that things that were written aforetime was written for our learning. To this evening, I believe we can learn something from the book of Genesis. I believe we can learn something about Noah. But you know, when you are in a society where you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, I don't have nothing against the Joneses. And you're trying to be with the minority, you're going through that gate that's wide and everybody seems to be going through it. Sometimes it's hard to be different. Sometimes it's hard to sanctify yourself. But this story of Noah, we can find that he was a man going through times like those. And regardless to what was happening around him, he was faithful to God. I believe we're living in days like that today. I believe that we can learn something from this story of Noah. Now, in the book of Genesis, around the 7th chapter, I believe there is, we want to start reading at verse number 13. I'm not going to read all that Brother read. From 13 to verse number 16, the Bible says, in the same, self-same day, entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the son of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing after that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark. two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female. You know, I like that there, because, you know, it was like Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's real good, isn't it? Then the Bible said, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When the door was shut, who shut the door? The Bible says God shut the door. Now, when we understand the story of Noah, we're going to find out some things about him, and what we're going to do is try to make him applicable in our lives today. You see, the Bible is not a fairy tale book. It is a live word from Almighty God. Even all scripture has the inspiration of God. And it's good for us to glean something from it, and to make us all that we can be right now for Almighty God. If you're living today and you ain't trying to live, excuse my English teachers, if you ain't trying to live for God, you just ain't living at all. The Bible says now over here in chapter 6, this is where it all began. The Bible says in verse number 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continuously. Now, I believe that it was a whole lot of things going on then. I believe there was a lot of things that didn't please God that was happening, just like today. People running down now to Lake Charles to the boat. People running around scratching off lotto tickets. Men with men and women with women. Partying, hardy, shingling the way they want to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about in here. Don't nobody know what shingling is. I know that before a whole bunch of y'all time. Brother, you know. Yeah, they were getting down in the days of Noah. Any and every imagination that they had. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to learn something right here tonight. Man, the Bible says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Oh, boy, I tell you, boy, God is... He was so, it must have hurt him. You know, God is long-suffering towards us today, y'all. He want us to get our lives together today. And I would imagine some of us knuckleheads, God would say, you know, I'm trying to wait on him to get his life right. I'm trying to wait on her to get her life right. But I just don't know how long I can wait. You know something? Just like we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I want you to know God gets sick and tired sometime of being sick and tired too. And it repented him that he made man, and it grieved him so. I mean, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, and for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah, now check this out. You know what but means? He makes a transition here. He's trying to say, and you know, sometimes we can think that we're all alone, and guess what? We can be all alone all we want, but when God is with us, oh, man. Whew. Boy, boy, boy. Oh, when God is on your side, you just don't know how much power you got. If God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace, he found some favor with God. Now, among all that was going on, all the things that God looked at that was abomination to him, here's a man within all that still found favor with God. Have you ever been in a situation and you said that if you can do it, I can do it? Well, if Noah did it, we can do it. We got God with us today. We don't have to be like the world. The Bible says we are in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. Oh, man, I remember those old children of Israel. You can take the children out of Israel, but they couldn't get Israel out of the children. I mean, Egypt, excuse me. Couldn't get Egypt out of the children. In Exodus 14 chapter, they complained and complained. I mean, you don't have time. I'm just bringing up the subject here. And they said, you brought us way out here to die. Wouldn't enough graves in Egypt? Boy, I tell you what, some of us, we can come out the world and come into the church, but we can't get the world out of us. Oh, boy, ain't that right? Amen, if you can, it's all right. It's still true. Some of us, we can't get the world out of us. Noah found grace with God. Then the Bible says then it goes to talk about it. In verse number 13, I'm just skipping around just for a little time's sake. See, I told myself I wasn't going to hold y'all too long. I'm trying to stick with 30 minutes, but I can't even hardly see the clock back there. But I'm trying to stay within them. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. You know something about God? Boy, God, I remember when he told old Cornelius, your prayers has come up to me. Boy, I tell you what, I wonder how our life going up to God. I wonder what God's saying about you and what he's saying about me. You ever thought about that? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's very important in our life that we're going to run this Christian race. We got to endure all the way to the end. And boy, we got to have somebody that we can go back and glean from it and know that if he did it, we can do it too. Even when times like these, we can be for God. And if we be for God, God will be for us. Then the Bible goes on to say, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Boy, isn't that the way it is today? You can't turn on your news and find nothing good. I'm trying to tell you, I get so tired of news. I just need to find out, do I live by a fool next door to me? You know? Because everything we turn on is violence. Violence here. And I'm going to tell you something. It used to be a time that we didn't read about us having so much violence in our lives. But now people of color, yes, indeed. Boy, killing each other up like it ain't nothing. Robbing. Oh, dude, go get you a job. Go to work. Want fast money. Everybody want it right now. Oh, I can't wait no 2 weeks for that little crumbs you're making. You better try to go work. The Bible said, the end of all flesh is coming for me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'm going to destroy them and I'm going to destroy the whole earth. Now, you know, I want to stop right there because I believe this is a teaching moment right here just for a minute. How is it that people don't believe that God is going to burn this earth up when we can see he destroyed it once with water? When you look at the rainbow in the sky, what you think it means? It don't mean it's a pot of gold at the end of it. You can't even see the end of it. It means that God will never, ever destroy the earth. I know y'all know this. By water again. Why? Because he said it's going to be by fire. But yet we don't believe that God will just save a certain amount of people and destroy everybody else. When we can see, learn from the Old Testament how only 8 souls were saved by water. Now, wait now. I want you to use that old thing that we talked about this morning. Let me tell you what that was. This common sense part. 8 souls were saved by water, while that same water destroyed everybody else. You know something, wait. Something sounds kind of fishy in this story, huh? Now, you want to know why those 8 souls were saved? Because the Bible says that Noah found grace with God. Noah was perfect in his generation. Now, that doesn't mean that Noah didn't have any fault. That means he was a complete man with his lifestyle. His heart was right with God. You know, wherever your heart is, your action is going to follow. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That don't mean that you all of that in a bag of chips, but if you think you are, you're going to act like you are. Is that all right? Well, Noah found grace with God. Noah was one to do what God, he wanted to eschew evil. He wanted to shun evil look. He wanted to do what God, and the Bible says he was perfect in his generation. He was complete. He was whole. He was one that wanted to, he wanted to do what God said. So God told him to build this ship, this ark, told him what kind of wood to use, what kind of measurement to measure the wood was. Hey, didn't tell him go get no pine wood. You know, our houses are made of pine and particle board and all that stuff. He told him get some gopher wood. I don't even know what gopher wood is. But Noah knew what it was. And Noah was obedient to him. See, when you're obedient to God, if he say he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. Yes. Every man be a lie, but God be true. God is true. He ain't going to tell us something and keep it, because the Bible says God cannot lie. So, you know, that ought to give us some kind of comfort tonight, this evening, to know that if we can be perfect enough, we can have our heart set up on Jesus. So when the Savior call, I will answer. I'll be waiting on him to call my name. Oh, yes, but I'm going to tell you something. When God shut the door, I would imagine. Now, let's think about this now. Noah preached to these people over 100 years. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to them over 100 years. They ignored everything that Noah said. They were laughing, oh, man, building a ship on dry land. See, it had never rained. So since it hadn't rained, what you going to build a ship for? See, when God tells us to do something, let's just do it. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. God already got it figured. I remember when he told the children of Israel, they came to that Red Sea, and he said, go forth. What was their job? Don't worry about the water. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. You just go forth. If there's a will, there's a way. God will make that way if we got the will to do what he tells us to do. Well, you see, Noah did all that God told him to do. He had that ship in measurements just right. He told him he used the right kind of wood. And boy, when he got through, 2 of each kind came in there. It wasn't no Adam and Steve in there. It wasn't no homosexual animals in there. The priest messed with these little boys. You know, God has given all of us a nature for a male to have a female. I don't care what religion, what people say about this, that, and the other. God already got everything. It's all in the works. See? Now, the Bible says that when all of the animals went in, and I want you to think about this too. If I go to the zoo, excuse my English, I ain't going to get close to no cage. When all those animals went in that ark, they all got along, y'all. There were no problems one with the other, no wars among each other. When God shut the door, you know, Noah was able to feed them. They got along. But when God opened that door, boy, I tell you what, they don't get along today, do they? When God shut the door, can't nobody get in. I would imagine some of those people that Noah was preaching to year after year wanted to get into that ship. But when God shuts the door, it's too late. Well, guess what? Jesus is the door today. Amen. He's the door to the sheepfold, John the 10th chapter. And the Bible says when he comes to get in the air, it's going to be just like the days of Noah. People are going to be given in marriage. People are going to be partying. People are going to be doing their own thing just like a normal day. Boy, I'm telling you what. The whole moral of the story is to make preparations right now. See, we got to make preparations right now. Y'all, we talking about what we going to do tomorrow. Jesus might come tonight. People told me, go down there to that boat, boy. They know I like to eat. You know, they say preachers like to eat chicken, right? Okay. They know I like to eat. Boy, you go down there. Boy, they got good food and good food. Well, suppose Jesus come. I ain't got no business down there at no boat. Got no business scratching no lotto tickets. We need to depend on God. We depend on God. God will make a way when there seems like there is not a way at all. He'll make a way. When God shut the door. You see, Noah wasn't the blame. See, just like when I preach the gospel, people get mad at me because I tell them ain't but one church, tell them that God just got one plan to save man, and he saved man all the same way. People get mad at me. They don't need to get mad at me. Your arm's too short to be boxing with God. That's the one to get mad at, because all I'm doing is telling you what thus said the Lord. Amen. That's it. I'm not adding to it. I'm not diminishing from it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Well, I want to tell you something. How important it is to get into Christ right now. How important it is if you're in Christ, don't leave Christ. If you leave Christ, Christ will leave you. I know the Bible says he won't forsake us. But I want you to know that's on a condition. And we got to meet the condition. If we don't forsake him, if we be like Noah in our generation, when times come, he will not leave us. Nor will he forsake us. You see, the Bible says in Genesis 6 and 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. You know something? Preparations so important. While he was preparing that ship, long as he did, he was preaching to them. He was a man of righteousness, so he was preaching what was right. That's all I know. But I do know one thing. Everybody that was, when that water came, everybody that wasn't in that boat died. That's right. And I want you to know that when Christ comes, everybody that's not in Christ won't make heaven their home. Have you ever decided, have you ever thought about it to the extent that you feel that it's too hot on earth? I know I do. I was in here sweating now. See, I'm sweating right now. I wouldn't stand a chance in hell. That's right. I wouldn't stand a chance in hell, not at all, because I'm hot right now. And the air conditioner on. And I want y'all to know something. Ain't nobody went down there and put the fire out. It's going to burn with fervent heat, the Bible says. It says, according to Matthew 25, 41, and it's going to be like the gnashing of teeth. Boy, that's pretty hot. Ooh, that's hot. And ain't going to be no air conditioning, no fans, nowhere either. Now, I want to tell you about one other story, and then the lesson will be yours. This is a story of preparation. We got to prepare ourselves for Jesus. Because he's coming in the air. He's coming once again. He's not going to step his foot on earth. That's not true. He ain't stepping down here. Don't believe our JW friends, no. He ain't coming to earth. The Bible said the earth going to burn up. He's coming in the air. And he's going to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Matthew, please. Matthew, the 25th chapter. The story of the 10 virgins. The Bible talks about, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise. Five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Look, let me tell you something. What good? There was a lot of preachers. I want y'all to hear me real good. Can preach real good. I mean, boy, they can articulate that word. They can put that word out there so sophisticatedly, if that is a word, and so eloquently. But what good it is to preach a sermon and don't tell a person what to do to be saved? What good was it them to take their lamps and ain't got no oil? I'm finna drive to California, but y'all, I ain't got no gas. I ain't got no gas, though, but I'm going. Yes, indeed, in my mind I might be, but I ain't gonna get that vehicle there. Then the Bible says, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, he waited, took his time, that all slumbered and slept, got tired and sleepy. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They cut their lamps on, okay? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You know something? I don't mean no harm, but all of us ought to spread the gospel and to teach others. But the Bible says, save yourself from this own towards sin. You make sure you right with God first. See? You make sure you right with God. I can't tell you and help you until I can help myself. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Can't do it. Lest there be not enough for us and you. If you got, look, I'm going to tell you something. I remember I used to go to school a long time ago. I catch some peanut butter and jelly. That's right. Y'all don't know nothing about peanut butter and jelly, do you? The days you used to eat peanut butter off a spoon because you ain't had no bread. They don't know nothing about that. That's right. And I only brought enough for me. I'm sorry that I didn't bring. I was kind of selfish back then. I just brought enough peanut butter for me. Yeah. But guess what? You knew you needed something to eat too. When I go fishing, I carry me a sandwich. Yeah, I had that sandwich ready. That's brothers in here, they know. I carry my own sandwich. I ain't gonna depend on them to bring me no sandwich. Well, these foolish ones, they carried their lamp, but they didn't carry their oil. Then the Bible says, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell it. Go to the store and buy you some. And buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Uh-oh. They lied. They not nowhere listening for their name. See, they ain't nowhere. Are you listening for your name? See, all those ought to be here this evening. Can't hear their name called if Jesus was to come. I ain't trying to talk about nobody. I'm just, you know, just making the scriptures applicable to our lives. And if we don't do that, guess what? It's become a fairy tale book. That was for them, not me. No, it's for me. It's for you. The Bible goes on to say, but he answered, saying, not so. Okay, I'm going too far back. Go and sell. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, see, you got to be ready. Were ready, went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Boy, when God shuts a door, can't nobody open it. Can't nobody open the door if God shut it. When we die, if we haven't lived right for the Lord, the door is shut to God. It's shut. But let me say this to you. Have a door ever been shut on you? Couldn't have been nobody opened that door but God. See, when God opens the door, can't nobody shut it. When God shuts the door, can't nobody open it. Well, guess what? He's got a door that's open this evening to each and every one of us, and that's by way of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 3, I believe, around verse 20, somewhere around there, I stand at the door and knock. That song we sing, somebody knocking at your door. It sounds like Jesus. Now, what you going to do? Are you going to open that door? Or are you going to keep it shut? You know one thing about God? God ain't going to make you open it. God gives that choice to us to open the door for his son. His son wants to come in and fellowship with us. He wants to sup with us. He wants to enjoy himself with us. Well, how do I feel about it? I'm going to tell you something. There's a door that's open right now. And he made it possible when he came to seek and to save the lost, when he came to mend the broken hearts, when he came to give sight to the blind and preach to the poor, when he came that they might have life and have it with abundance. The question is, how did you do it, Jesus? Jesus did it when he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. Didn't defend himself, being bruised and beaten. Bloody. Going to the place called the skull, Golgotha. Hanging on that tree. And the Bible says, curse of any man that hangs on the tree. Hang on that cross for 6 long hours. for you and for me. Shedded his blood and death that he can purchase a church. Given the apostles the keys to the kingdom of God. Making it possible that we can go in through the door. Jesus shedded his blood and death that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He purchased a church with that blood. He brought in the New Testament with that blood. He gives us the forgiveness of sins with that blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you been washed in the blood? If not, why not? That church that he purchased with that blood is the church of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, let me tell you something now. I know that people say all of us are church of Christ. But when we read it in the Bible, we're talking about the church of Christ in Rome, Thessalonica, in Galatia, in Corinth. Those are the churches of Christ. Those that follow a certain doctrine. You see, everybody don't have God. Everybody don't have God. Read Ephesians 2:11. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't have God. Because I'm going to tell you what God did a long time ago. When it was the Jews and the Gentiles, right? The Jews had God's favor, but God not being a respecter of persons. Ooh, I can't see that clock. He had his own timetable when he was going to reconcile all men back to him. How did you do it, God? Well, Ephesians 2, the Bible says, he made both of the twain one new man in Christ Jesus and put them in one body.
There you go.
Those that didn't have God, Gentiles, that was us, y'all. We weren't of the circumcision. But we need to thank God for God, because I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't for that, women couldn't even be saved. Because you can't be circumcised. In the Old Testament, it was circumcision of the skin. Mm-hmm. Now it's baptism for sin.
There you go.
And each and every one of us can be baptized in Christ. But when the door is shut in your life, it's too late. Why don't you come right now when there's an open door? When Jesus is standing at the door and said, if you believe that I'm the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're ready to confess the sweetest name on any man's tongue, that I am the Son of God, and then be baptized, the door will be open to the church. I'll add you to it. You work, walk, and worship faithfully. When I come again in the air, heaven will be your home. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. That's what I'm living for. You know something? One day we're all going to die. We have that appointment with death. Hebrews 9:27. We all have an appointment. We don't know when it is. When is the time? 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Right now. Right now is the day of salvation, y'all. If you have already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to say something to you right quick. Because some of us believe the church saves you. I want to say that again. I, I ain't scared to say it. Some of us believe the church saves us. The church doesn't save us. Christ does. He's the Savior of the body. You can't have one without the other, but you got to be saved first. And when you're saved, he adds you to his church, the one he shedded his blood for. If you are a Christian and you haven't been faithful, man, it's time to get it together. It's time right now to number our days. It's time right now to get our house in order. We ain't got tomorrow necessarily. It don't necessarily have to come. No. Even if it did come, he might take us out tonight. No. If you die lost, you're going to get up lost. If you die right, guess what? You're going to get up right. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to obey it. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. I'll put you into Christ. He'll add you to his church, give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive the forgiveness of all your past sins, your slate. You'll be a new creature in Christ. And if you are a Christian and you just haven't been living right, you need to get it together. Repent. Repent. You don't have to be baptized again. Just repent.
That's it.
And according to your repentance, that blood of Jesus, as we walk in the light, will continuously cleanse us from our sins. If you're here this evening, we're going to ask you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.